Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your gracious host, Xavier Miller. And today, like always, y'all know I come with some heat. We got a crazy episode for y'all. I got a dope special guest. But before we start the show, I would like to advise all the listeners, watchers, viewers, to please subscribe, hit that five-star rating. Review, like, comment, share, do all those things. We're trying to run those subscribers up, run the numbers up. So if y'all could do that, starting off the show, I would greatly appreciate it. And getting right into it, like I said, I got a very special guest. He's someone that's killing it. We got connected by my guy, Jay Monopoly. Shout out to Jay. And he's here. He came from Boca, Florida, came to Dallas, Texas. And I'm super excited he's on the show. His name is Carlton Washington. Welcome to the show, brother. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, man. So let's get right into it. I'm not anybody that's a viewer, fan on the show, they know I'm not a fan of small talk. I like to get straight to it. So for the viewers and watchers, right, who's been stuck under the rock, they ain't been paying attention to what's going on in the world. This is their first time seeing you, hearing of you. Just give a quick, brief background on who you are.
Awesome. Yeah, so thank you for having me. Like you said, my name is Carlton Washington, and I am the co-founder of Forever Young. We are a medical, aesthetic, and wellness franchise here in the United States. We operate in about 15 states right now. We started in 2014 and have grown to about 43 open locations right now. We open about two locations every single month. Whoa. I am originally from Washington, D.C., moved to Mississippi, grew up a little bit there, went to South Florida, grew up a little bit there, back to D.C., Atlanta. So I really lived most of my life in the southeastern region.
Okay.
And now I'm out here in Dallas, Texas, meeting up with you. So, yes, sir. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to unpack in between there, but that's who I am. That's who people know me as right now, is Carlton with Forever Young.
So how did you get into this industry, the anti-aging? That seems so like you're the first person I met that's in the industry. I'm pretty sure the listeners and the watchers, they probably, this their first time hearing somebody that in this industry as well. So what was your start into this?
Well, it's interesting you say that. One thing I will point out is there's not a lot of people in the industry that look like myself.
That's what it is.
And especially not when we started. Mm. And so I always tell people that my journey into Forever Young really came from desperation and depression. And my wife had asked me to support her career. We were in Atlanta. I was living in a home where I was very comfortable. A few years before that, I'd gone through a bankruptcy. And,
what year is this?
This was 08, 09. Okay. So we went through that. I went from up here to down here in a matter of months. And I lost all of my homes. I was in real estate.
Recession.
Lost all my homes. Yeah. And then all of the cash that I had that was in equities in the market, I lost all of that while I was having a margarita, or lost 50% of that while I was having a margarita at a Mexican restaurant, just watching it on CNBC, just,
you've seen it.
Just disappeared. And so it got to a really low point. At the same time, my wife and me had both lost our jobs at the same time while all this is going on. So I'd really been brought to my bottom and had been working to bring myself up from there. I'd finagled a way to get into a free and clear home at that time. And whoa. I was like, you know what? I'm good. You know, I'm at my little property. I was on like 4 acres in Atlanta. And I was like, I'm good. I don't want to move. And I'm just going to relax. And she's like, well, hey, I moved here to support your career. And now I'm asking you to come back to Florida, where I'm from, where my parents are, and I want you to support me. And there's an opening at my job. It's a big promotion. What do you say? And I'm like, you know, the selfish part of me wanted to be like, hell no. But I'm like, man, you know what? She's got a point. She followed me here. So I was like, cool. I'm trying to seem like I'm not being selfish, but I was like, but they got to do all these different stipulations. Thinking in my head, like, there's no way they're going to do this. So she comes back home. She's like, well, they said yes to everything. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, we got to go in 30 days. So she goes ahead of me, takes my son. It takes me 7 months to get down there. And in order to get down there, I had to take a job, which was like a big step back in my career.
Right.
So I'm down there waking up every day at this job, and I'm in the retail banking. I'm back in retail banking. I almost started my career in retail banking. So I'm sitting there, have a horrible leader. Every day she's coming in, messing with my head, and I'm just like, I can't believe I put myself in a situation like this again. So every day I'm waking up basically crying on the side of the bed in my underwear. It looked like a depression, you know, medication commercial. And so I told my wife, I can't take this anymore. And so it just so happened that I'm dealing with clientele that are doctors, estheticians, people from pharmacies, all these type of things. And I'm not doing my work, you know, because I'm not trying to be at this bank. So I'm just taking the time to get to know all these people. Every single client that came in, I'm just like, what do you do? Tell me about what you do, because I'm just trying to scratch my head to figure out what to do. So a lot of these medical people were coming in, and I had been a patient of a wellness center in Atlanta that put me on testosterone replacement, and it changed my life.
Really?
Changed my life. And so as I started talking to these people, I was just writing everything down. I was like, you know what? I was ready to do anything. I would do anything. I told my wife, I'm either going to sell and rent jet skis on the beach, just do that, or I'm going to go. There was a bar named Mango's in Miami on South Beach. You might have been there before.
Yeah, I've heard of Mango's.
And the bartenders, the guys, they're all in great shape, and they get up on the bar and they dance. They make good money, make good tips. I was like, I'm just going to go do that. I'm just going to go have fun. I'm getting out of here. I'm not living this life like this anymore. But I was like, before I do that, maybe I should just give one more shot at trying, you know, trying something else. And so I was like, maybe I should do a business in wellness. And so damn. One of the guys that was coming in, he had sold out of a similar business before. And he told me, he's like, if you're going to open a business like this, you have to know 50 people to support this so you can get off the ground. He's like, if you don't, he's like, you're going to struggle. So I'm in Florida. I didn't know anybody down there.
Right.
And so at the time, I was training for a bodybuilding competition because I wasn't hanging out. I didn't have nothing to do. And this was helping me, you know, with my stress and whatnot. And so basically, the guy that was training me that I just met, he was a bodybuilder, professional, knew everybody in town. And I was like, maybe I'll just ask that guy. He knows everybody. And I'll ask that guy if he wants to work with me. So I took the business plan and I called him and I was like, hey, can you meet me at Starbucks? And he was like, why? Mind you, this is not a friend or anything. This is like a coach. He's just my coach. I just met the guy. And I just want to talk to you about something. So we go to Starbucks. I put the business plan out. I was like, hey, man, I got to get out of what I'm doing, man. And I've been working on this thing. We, you know, take a look at it. Would you be willing to open up a business like this with me? And he's like, okay. And I was like, you serious? He's like, yeah, okay. So next week, we start looking at real estate. 5 months later, we open our doors, and we open Forever Young.
That's insane. Like, usually, it's so much with that I want to touch on. First, I want to say taking it back to, you said losing your in a recession, losing your house, because in 2024, you know, 15, 16 years later, it's kind of like the cycle has come back around. So there are so many.
Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about.
Nobody wants to talk about that. But there are so many people that's mid 20s, early 30s, mid 30s. They're going through what you went through 15, 16 years ago, and they like, yo, I'm done. I'm cooked. It's over. Like, what would you say to people right now? Because you've been through there. Now you're back on the other side. What would you say for just from inspiration to keep them, like, mentally strong, to let them know this is not the end?
It really depends. I mean, that mindset, the mindset that you need to believe it's not the end is not only – going to come from one place. And so I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. First and foremost, it's funny that you're saying that, because a lot of people don't want to talk about this. All the signs are here right now.
Yes.
My stock portfolio is going through the roof right now. Real estate portfolio
going through the roof
right now. My crypto right now going through the roof. Everybody's distracted, right? Only last time, this is what it was. And for young people, if you find yourself asking questions like, oh, so real estate just always goes up? Oh, you mean I could just put my money in the market and it just keeps on going up? This is great. If you're saying that and you're asking yourself if this is normal, it's kind of time for you to step back and take a look at history and start reading and getting prepared for what's going to happen. Because it's so big right now that the balloon that could potentially burst at any time has to have a significant burst.
Yeah.
You know, for things to be corrected. I actually would prefer that to happen, because if not, nobody in your age demographic is ever going to be able to get ahead for the rest of their lives.
Never.
But to answer your question though, you need to believe in something first and foremost to be able to have a tough mindset to get through tough times. And so I tell people, you know, I'm not promoting religion or anything like that, but I do think that people need to believe in something first and foremost for them to have mental resilience and toughness to be able to face challenges that are ahead or maybe that they're dealing with at the time. I would also tell people, if you're saying young people, how to prepare for somebody for something like that or how to deal with it now, is you have to do all the things that your peers are not doing, right? So if you're talking about young people, what young people are you talking about, by the way? What age demographic are we talking about here?
Under 30.
Under 30. So I have an under 30, I have a 23-year-old daughter, and I'm around those people a lot of the time, and I watch what they do. And I'm not saying with my daughter per se, but I'm saying with that age demographic, a lot of them are involved in unproductive activities.
Absolutely.
A lot of them are also involved in things that do not have longevity, meaning that they're getting involved in things that may not be around for a very long time. They're very focused on having fun. They're very focused on superficial things. They're very focused on quick money, easy money, things of that nature, things that are comfortable, comfort-driven things, and things that are going to come to them easy. And so if you really want to answer to that question and you're under 30, I would prepare myself to build some grit. I would prepare myself to do things that are tough, even if I didn't need to. So I'd want to be physically tough, meaning I'd want to be physically active. I'd want to be training. I'd want to be working out, and I want to be pushing my limits to be the best that I could be. That's very important once things go wrong, right? Because that has been proven to be a cure for many forms of depression. That has been proven to also make you feel better. Yeah. And when you feel better, you work better. People treat people like that much better as well, which opens you up to opportunities. And as a young person at that time of your life, you need to be the obvious choice for every opportunity it is that you want, always. So you should always, meaning you should always be able to be open for an opportunity when it comes knocking,
when it comes.
Right? And so if you're not physically prepared for that, it's not going to happen. Mental, what are people under 30 talking about all the time? They're depressed, they're full of anxiety, they're sad, and they're tired. Okay, that does not lead to success, and especially if you're having a financial hardship, if you're having a hard time, you know, making the money that you want, living in the place that you want, all these things, it's definitely not going to be any better if you're depressed. So we got to work on that as well. And we need to start preparing ourselves to do tough things. Reading, people don't want to read. Sounds like it's an old thing to do. If you don't want to read, I understand. Do an audio book while you're getting yourself physically prepared. Audio books will change your life because although you may not realize it, your brain is downloading all of this data in your subconscious. So even if you're just getting 30, 40% of the information in that book, you can still take that activity and multiply it times 100, and you'll be 100 times smarter at the end. And so you're 100 times smarter, and if you do this over 90 days to 4 months, now you're that much more stronger, right? And then if you're actually seeking some wisdom and spiritual direction in your life, that's gonna help fortify everything around you. And so when you have all these things, what do they say? Mind, body, soul, yep. Right? So when you have all these things going, we're talking about reading, we're talking about making yourself stronger, and we're talking about getting your spiritual mindset prepared. Now you're looking at issues and you're looking at opportunities in the issue. You're looking like, it's like in the Matrix, you're slowing everything down. You're able to have control of your emotions and your thoughts, and you say, well, what is out there for me? What am I going to do well, and how do I present myself to these opportunities? And so while everybody else is in crisis or having issues in their lives, or your friends are depressed and down, or they don't want to do anything, all of these things actually end up becoming opportunities for you because the pool of people that are there, right, to compete with you is lesser and lesser and lesser, and then that's when you show up. And showing up as this person, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find success somewhere. You know, if you're a diligent person, if you're a consistent person, a high level of activity, all of these things increase your percentage of something good happening to you. Right? And so what am I saying right now? It's not something that's just simple. It's not, you know, 10-minute rice. You got to do some work. The first month of doing these type of things is going to be seen as pain to not only your body, but to your brain. Technically, your brain is going to see learning as pain. And then to your spirit, especially if you're under 30 and most of your activities include, you know, going out, partying, popping mollies, getting drunk every night. Trust me, I've been there, right? But if that's where your spirit is at, you have a long way to come from getting out of that mindset onto the other side. And not to say you can't have fun, party and whatnot, but we got to sacrifice to move ahead. And so I learned those things the hard way multiple times in my life. And anybody who rejects them, I always see them stuck in the mud forever until they realize that there's just no way around these areas in your life. You have to face them at some point.
You have to. You have to. Have you ever heard of Bruce Lipton? Bruce Lipton?
Not off the top of the head, but
he's a. I know he's a guy. He's like a. If I'm not mistaken, I don't want to. I could be wrong with it. I think he's like a biologist or something like that. But he talks about the brain and wiring the brain.
White guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know his name. Yeah. He actually, his stuff scares me sometimes because I'm like, man.
He goes deep with it. And I know a lot of the videos he talk about how the first 7 years of every human's life is that's the most important years of a human. That's going to decide pretty much how you will be for the rest of your life. But he talked about the rewiring and the changing of that brain. It'll take like the conscious decisions you have to make every day, every second to rechange that wiring you got that first 7 years. And he was talking about how hard it is. And I think he says it takes around like 60 to 70 like committed days to, and that's just like the beginning process of it. So those things you're talking about is very important, but it's not, like you said, it's not easy too. You have to put a lot of work in to change all these things that's been implanted on you since birth.
And we're fighting them 24/7. So the phone is probably your biggest enemy. It's a necessity nowadays, but it's also the enemy for someone who doesn't have the tools to deal with these things. So, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm familiar with that guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary. And even for myself, I can say these things, but every time I have to start a new journey, it's a hard reset.
Yeah.
Because I know I don't want to go through pain. You know, I don't want
to. None of us do.
Yeah, I don't want to start over.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm in one of those ruts right now myself. I'm like, you need to get back to reading. You need to go hit the gym harder. After the holidays, I haven't rebounded the way I wanted to. And I'm like, damn, man. So, like, that's going to be pretty tough, man. You know, right now I'm just watching YouTube when I go to the gym and listen to my music. I'm not doing my books. And I see a difference right now. You know, I
see a difference in your performance.
Yeah, I'm at a pause. I'm a little bit of a pause, you know, like I haven't gotten back into my sharp mode where I'm just killing it every day. But, you know, it's because of what we're talking about. Even myself, when you let that routine slip a little bit,
It's so hard to get it back. That's something I experienced. I know, and I talk about this a lot. In 2022, I slipped a lot, man. My brain was just so focused on other things. I had a kid on the way. I got out of routines. It was so hard to constantly force myself to get back in a routine. And I just remember, it's called, for the people that's listening and watching, it's called Epigenetics by Bruce Lipton. That's the process I'm talking about. That's what the name for it. I know people that might want to go look it up and stuff like that. But you mentioned something, and I really want to talk about this. You said you took testosterone, and you said, what was the word you said?
Testosterone replacement therapy.
Replacement therapy. Yeah. You said that changed your life.
Yes.
First, what is testosterone replacement therapy, and why did that change your life?
So at the time, I was not feeling the greatest. I was 28 years old. I was working for Merrill Lynch at the time as a financial advisor. And I looked around the office, and Merrill Lynch, you know, they bring guys in. Not everybody makes it.
Get them out.
You work hard. You're on the phone all day. And you're looking around. And when you're looking at some of the older guys, and everybody's, you know, fat, you know, slumped over, low energy. And I just looked around. I'm like, damn. And I looked at myself. And it's like, you don't really look like you did a few years ago, man. And so I saw an advertisement for something that was talking to the symptoms I was having. And so one day for lunch, I was like, let me just go get it checked out because, you know, I can't live like this. And I went and I did a blood test. And they were like, let me go over this information with you. They're like, look at your blood. They're like, your testosterone right here is low. This is where it should be. This is where it was when you felt like this. How did you feel when you were 21 years old? And I was like, well, I felt great. You know, they're like, well, this is why. And so I was like, well, fine. I'll do anything to feel like that again. Boom. Take the shot.
It was a shot.
Yeah, take the shot. It's an intramuscular shot right there in your glute.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I was like, when am I supposed to feel something? They're like, about 2 weeks. Come back, get my next shot. They're like, how you feel? I felt great. I'm back in the gym, hard, heavy. After about a month, my body composition starts to change. So I'm putting on more muscle. The muscle is burning more fat. So I'm getting my chest back, getting my shoulders back. People are like, what's going on with you? You look different. You know, your clothes fit a little different. And I was hooked, man. I was like, this is great. I mean, this is amazing. And I started to then see a difference in my performance with my peers. So at work, I'm killing it. I started to see a difference in my relationships with people, how people were reacting to me. There's a biological thing that's going on in your body as well that people don't acknowledge. And so, like, pheromones are real.
Right.
When you're giving off the hint of health and wellness and masculinity and all these things, people and their subconscious react to it. Like, they don't even know.
They don't even know why.
Yeah, that they're having these reactions to you, right? And so everything was up. There were no negatives, period. And so I stayed on that therapy for years. And until I was 34 years old, I didn't really look at it as a business. I just looked at it, I was just a patient. But we took what we were doing as patients and figured, how can we do this better as a business? Because this was typically a medically driven industry by doctors, and doctors were running sterile offices, white walls, boring, you know, ugly furniture. And I was like, well, how do we make this cool, man? I'd rather go somewhere that's cool, somewhere that I'd like to be. And so how do we apply these things, put our personality, our little spin on it, and treat people as well like we would want to be treated? Because, you know, you go to the doctor's office, how do they treat you? How's that you know, medical assistant treat you? Not well.
I was just regular.
Right.
Very basic.
So what if we took that and gave you, like, Ritz-Carlton service and made it look like a nightclub and play cool music and serve drinks, you know, when you're coming in?
Well,
and,
that's smart.
You know, had a good-looking staff. And, I mean, like, like, what would happen? And that's what we did. You know, my partner and I, we were big fans of the show Nip Tuck. I don't know if you remember that. It was about these two plastic surgeons in Miami South Beach. And, you know, they dressed nice. They had luxury, exotic cars. They were living that Miami lifestyle. So we're like, we want to be those guys. And so we just copied that, you know. Yeah.
That's fine. Do you think most men have a low testosterone today?
So do you remember the movie Erin Brockovich with Julia Roberts, where she took down the big company in Texas here that was poisoning the water and all the people were getting sick? She got all these people in a Texas town. So there was a town, I believe it was in Texas. She was the legal assistant for the attorney, and all these people in the town were getting sick because this company was dumping all these chemicals in the water or whatever. She got to the bottom of it, and all these people got this massive settlement. And she was just like a paralegal at the time or whatever. Massive, massive settlement against these guys. So anyway, I bring her up because the woman that she played, Erin Brockovich, is doing a study right now. And she did it with, I believe, 220 scientists from all over the world to collect this data on men and their sex hormones. And the conclusion that they came was that by the year 2040, that men's sex hormones would be at like a zero. So we'll be at zero fertility rate by 2040. And I tell you that because you could look this up. I tell you that to answer your question. When you are in a business like mine, you can start to look at people and tell a lot of times what their hormone levels are like or what hormone imbalance looks like. This is not I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not a scientist, but we're in the business. We know what it looks like. We know what optimal looks like. We know what not optimal looks like. And so, yes, it's a massive problem. We get to see labs every single day. We've been doing this for 10 years, and we're seeing younger and younger and younger men coming up with low, low, low testosterone levels to the point that a lot of the issues that you're seeing in young people today
because
I'm not a researcher, but just based off what I've seen, there's probably a lot to do with the low sex hormones in these men and women. You know, because they're just simply not the same. Their motivation isn't the same. A lot of time their drive isn't the same.
Really?
Look at the body composition on a young man today versus 20 years ago. Then look at it 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's not the same. Seniors come in sometimes for blood work, a lot of time their hormone levels are higher than many young people. And so, again, I'm not making claims to be a researcher here. I'm just saying, when people say built different, your grandfather is built different. I promise you that. No. I promise you that. And I would stand behind that. Your grandmother is built different. They're built different, man. And also, people from countries who are not exposed to things that we have in the United States, a lot of time they are built different. So you get somebody that's immigrating here, you know, maybe somebody from Africa, maybe somebody from Brazil, something like that. The further you are away from whatever this stuff is that we're exposed to, I'm assuming it's food related, but I don't know. But whatever this is, the further you're away from it, the healthier you are. And so, yes, many men now, if not the majority, have lesser sex hormones and testosterone levels than at any time in history.
That's heavy, because I was reading and watching some stuff about how many men these days feel uninspired, lazy, in a rut, and they can't figure out, like, why. It's like, why do I feel this way? I was super aggressive and motivated just 6 months ago, a year ago, a couple years ago, and now I'm in this rut and I can't get out of it. And I'm not like a super researcher of sciences on this subject at all, but that's just my opinion. I think it has to be a lot related to like the amount of testosterone that men have or lack.
Yes, people are always going to attack you on topics like this because they're going to say, who are you
to say something
to say
like
these
that.
Things? The truth of the matter is, you don't need to be a somebody to say these things. You need to have a basic level of common sense and intelligence and be able to look around and look at people, look at what's going on, look at the differences throughout history and say, hey, there's a problem. Something here is not right, right? And then go look up the statistics, go look up the facts, go look up the research that, like Aaron, like I just told you, is doing. These are scientists. Go look at what they're saying. If you don't believe me, you don't believe you, you don't believe somebody who doesn't have a credential, go look at what the scientists are saying. And go look at the business of testosterone. Look at the business that we're in right now. Why do you think people are flocking to hormone replacement? It's because the people who are smart enough to realize this and acknowledge this and who want better for themselves are like, hey, something's not right. I need to fix it. Where can I go? And that's why I'm here. If you don't believe anything else, just believe the success that we've had. Follow the money.
So what does that look like, that process of getting testosterone replacements? Because a lot of people, they're like, this is my first time hearing this, like having this conversation in depth like this. I know people that's listening and watching, they may never heard, like, wait, this is a thing? Yeah. So what is that process like?
So process is like this. We are in a wellness space, medical wellness, and we do things a little bit differently. And so we are not an insurance-driven practice. Our patients are people that want to make an investment in their health. So that means that they're taking their own dollars, bypassing insurance, and saying, hey, this is what I want to spend my money on. And so the first step to that is going in and getting blood work done.
Okay.
Saying, hey, these are my symptoms. I don't feel great. I don't feel the way I want. Maybe I don't look the way I want. Can you please tell me if there's anything on my labs that would point to why I'm not feeling or looking the way that I'd like to look? Boom. We're going to run a comprehensive blood panel. I'm talking about 9 to 13 pages of blood work. When you go to a physical, for the people who go get their physicals I don't know how many people you know that go to the doctor every year, but not
most
many.
Right.
So for the people who do get physicals, typically you're going to get a one-sheeter or a two-sheeter. We're talking about
2-4
times that, right, of blood work. And so they're looking at hormone levels, kidney function, liver function, cardiovascular function, indicators of diabetes, other hormones, other nutrients, and putting all this stuff out and then say, hey, let's get your body composition. Let's see how much water is in your body. Let's see how much muscle mass you have. Let's see how much that is compared to the amount of fat you have. How much weight are you carrying? How much weight do you need to lose? How much muscle do you need to gain? How much fat do you need to lose? And then what on this blood work right here is an indicator of the reason you're feeling like this? And what are we going to do about it? And if one of those things happens to be hormone related, okay, well, your testosterone level is a 150. You're telling me that you don't have the sexual desire you used to have. You're telling me that you're putting on, you know, fat around your stomach. You can't get up the weights like you used to. You don't feel like going to the gym. You're falling asleep at 1 o'clock at work every day, and you don't really want to touch your wife like that, or whatever, or girlfriend, whatever. Look, okay, well, it says right here you got a 150 testosterone. Optimally, your testosterone should be at 900.
Damn.
Right? So you are like, what? What is that? That's like, you're like a fourth of the man that you used to be, or that you want to be. A fourth, right? And so what I tell people is Xavier on testosterone next to Xavier off testosterone. This guy over here can never, ever, ever, ever beat this guy in any task or function, whether it's at work, at home, in the bedroom, sports, whatever. This guy can never beat this guy, ever, ever. It's just, it's impossible because you are optimal and the other person's not, you know, and that person being you.
Yeah. Do you think, and this is going to probably lead down the whole other slope of a conversation, but do you think, I got to ask this because this is the kind of stuff that I'll be thinking in my head. Do you think that this is intentionally done? Because you talk about how our grandparents is built different in this generation than this generation. That seems to me like this is not by accident.
So why would I want you to take my spot? Why would I want you to know what I know? Why would I want you to have what I have? You know what I'm saying? Why would I want you to be able to take what I have? You know, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
And be at your best ability.
Yeah, why would I want that? Why would I want that? You know, I tell people this all the time. I mean, let's just be honest here, you know. I'm in the business of franchising my business, so I charge a fee for that. I would never tell you how to do my business for free, ever, ever. and I don't want any of my competition to succeed in my business. I don't. When I open up a business, I want somebody to close their doors.
Right.
Right?
That's the nature of business.
Right.
Business
is important. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah.
Just keeping it real. You know, this is America. We want to have an advantage. We're aggressive people.
Yep.
We're very competitive. And so if there is a way for me to do things and you to not have the will to compete, the will to speak up, the will to...
Damn.
To intrude on anything I have, why wouldn't someone do that in human nature? Why would they not? And what I find is that a lot of people who have not ascended to certain levels of success in their life and maybe, like, you know, seen what's on the other side of the mountain, meaning how other people live who have means, a lot of people can't relate to somebody who has power or who has influence or who has a high financial status, meaning
right.
that people live a completely different lifestyle than the 1% or the 0.05% or the 0.025% do not live our lives. They don't live your life. It's a completely different life. But people, just because you struggle paycheck to paycheck and you are benevolent and you volunteer every week and you go to church, that doesn't mean that's what they do, right? That's what you do. And you're probably doing it because somebody wanted you to do that in the first place, right? You've just been programmed and trained to do these things and to think that that's the best that you can do. There's other people out here who look at things in a global perspective, who look at things and look at people as pawns. And you know, when you're talking about consolidation, for instance, like we just did a private equity transaction. Sold majority shares of our business. People don't realize what private equity is. And this is a long way of answering your question. I'm not saying private equity is involved in this, but what I'm saying is people don't understand that there is a consolidation of wealth and business that goes on behind the scenes every day, which means that there's only so many people that all of these businesses roll up to, right? And so when you're able to concentrate these things, power and levers of control, then why would someone want you to be able to interfere with that?
Right.
Right? And so I'm not going to say that it's necessarily on purpose, but I'm not going to say it's not. But I think people need to really think about what's going on and think about where they are in life and think about the fact that you should put yourself in someone else's shoes and what would you do if you had the ability to do these things and what would you use it for? And I think a lot of times people have a very hard time with that concept because they're just so in their own little world. But people have done worse.
No, absolutely. But it's so interesting because a lot of like high level, high net worth individuals I talk to in like private conversations, and for the most part, they're on like some kind of supplement to help them. I'm not talking like steroids or no shit like that, but things to, whether it's testosterone or other things to keep that energy and bring them back to that natural element of what they should be.
So here's a better way to answer your question. They're not eating the food
right
that you're eating. They're not drinking the water that you're drinking. They're not staying in the hotels that you're staying in. They're not driving in the cars that you're driving in. Better safety features, cleaner water,
yep.
Better food, better sourced food, better air quality, all of for these sure. things. And so people need to think about that. Like, why? Why is someone saying, I'm not going to eat that? Because people know. They know that's not good for you, man. I'm not going to eat that. Why? Because this is what it does to you. And therefore, I'm not going to let my kids eat that.
Right.
Therefore, we're not going to look the same. We're literally not built the same because we're built off of what we eat, the nutrients yep. that go in our body. So you actually created different classes of people based on these things.
Just based on
that. Right? And so you notice, and this is the whole basis of my business. It's like we're in wellness care. We're dealing with people that consciously make a decision to invest in their health while the masses are going down a completely different pathway into sick care, which is managed by insurance companies, hospitals, and business people who are in the business of creating a volume of people to treat so that you can get more dividends and interest over and over again. If you're not sick, they don't get paid, right? And so that's the business model. Whereas we're in the business of keeping people healthy, alive, looking their best. And if they have a problem, I mean, our patients, they're going to give it to us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just going to roll over and take it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't roll over and take things. You know, they're more in control of their lives. And we have an obligation to well people, to keeping them well. The proof is in the data. The proof is in how they look. The proof is in how they feel. And when you look and feel good, better things happen to you all around. And your life is therefore extended.
Yeah.
So they're getting their money's worth. We all know that when you go in the hospital system, you're treated with, you know, pills and drugs and all that stuff. What happens? Like, you ever had, like, anybody ever just really get better, you know?
No, you rarely see that.
No.
From going to the hospital, you rarely see people, like, improving with their health. They just staying alive.
They say, unless you get, like if it's like a gunshot, a broken bone,
right.
a surgery, something like that, yes, you get better.
Right.
But when it comes to treating disease, man, you don't get better.
Yeah, don't get better at all. This is really interesting. So this is my final question regarding testosterone. Is that anti-aging as well?
So testosterone optimizes many different health functions. So when we're able to optimize your health and when you're able to live a better life, both physically and mentally, right, then you are practicing longevity medicine, right? Because the healthier you are, besides the act of God, this is essentially extending your life. And if it's not extending your life, it's at least extending your quality of life.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we're looking for. Who wants to live? I know, I'm pretty sure you got some grandparents, aunt, uncle, somebody who's probably lived a long time, but they're not really living, right?
Facts.
I wouldn't really want to be that person.
Right.
You know, I'd rather go out at 60 at the height of my life, right? Than to live till 80. Sitting there in them little scooters, you know, going around.
Everywhere you
popping,
at.
Popping
400 pounds and
yeah.
shit. Yeah. That's man, I really like this conversation. I want to go back for a second, though, because when you mentioned a recession and, like, having to move, losing the properties, and you said you was with your wife. Are y'all still married to today?
Great question. So we are still married to this day.
Okay.
And when that was happening, though, I tell people, as a man, when that was happening, I remember this. I was staying in 6220 Carriage Gate Lane in Atlanta, Georgia. And I came home, and once my mind finally gave in and I knew that the walls were crumbling, I mean, you're talking about job loss, assets loss, equity loss, everything. I just came in, I said, hey, you know what? I would just leave me if I were you at this point. You know what I'm saying? You should just leave.
You went to home and told her that.
Yeah. I was like, you should just leave because I don't see any way out of this. And, you know, I pretty much failed, and I would just leave if I were you.
And what was the response?
I don't remember her exact response, so I don't want to make it up. But I assume that it was something to the effect of, no. We're going to work through this and figure this out or whatever. But I was ready for her to just leave because it was embarrassing as a man.
Okay, I was going to ask, what made you say that?
Because that's not the man that I wanted to be, man. I mean, what kind of man, you know, loses everything? You know, like, that is something that my pride and my foundation was built off of. I was successful, man. I was, you know, corporate job, nice car, brand new house, multiple properties, money in the bank. You know, like, how does this happen? So it really took my manhood away from me, and I just didn't feel like a man. And if I was a woman, I just figured I wouldn't want to be with somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, this is a great topic because I feel like a lot of men let their status, money, what they drive, all those things define them. Do you think it should be that way? Do you think a man should define himself by the money, cars, the whatever his fitness is? Do you think that should define him, or should be bigger than that?
I think it comes back to those three basic things that we talked about, which is the mind, body, soul. So, I think you want to be proud of those areas. You want to have some pride in your life.
Absolutely.
Now, but it doesn't have to be, I think what you're more asking is, does it need to look like a rapper or a professional athlete or something like that? And I think that's a problem. No, and a lot of young people are caught up in that stuff.
Facts.
And no, it doesn't have to look like that. It needs to look like your version of whatever it needs, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? People need to spend some time by themselves, ask them what the life is that they want and what that looks like. And then when you have it, it doesn't matter if yours is a minivan with your three beautiful children in the back and your wife, and y'all are headed to a camping trip or to the soccer field, and, you know what I'm saying, like, you guys are just good, and then a dude pulls up in a Bentley next to you with, you know, three chicks in the back or whatever, like, that shouldn't faze you, right? If you are who you want to be, right? And I think we're getting caught up in that stuff. And we talked about this before the show starts. The biggest thing with that is, I guess the answer to your question is no, that shouldn't define you. Because what we're finding out all the time is that these people that are presenting these things to you, a lot of time, that's not really what's going on behind the scenes. And so you're seeing somebody's fraud, someone's scam, someone's manipulation, right? Yep. And that's not real. And at the end of the day, it can be very empty. And I've had all those things. I've had all of that stuff. And it's, trust me, I got a car in the garage right now I'm about to sell, because even knowing that, I still went out and got the car. I just wanted to see how it felt.
What is it?
It's Rolls Royce. And it's a beautiful car, man. But the guys that I really know and I look up to, they really look at values differently. And so that money that I'm putting out there could actually be building me more security somewhere else, and could be doing more for my family or for my kids down the road, and could be building up a greater wall of security. And you're not going to see that. You're not going to know that. I'm going to know that. Maybe my advisors might know that, but you're not going to know that. But those are the things, if you're looking at building a legacy, if you're looking at putting something here that lives beyond you, none of that stuff is going to live beyond you. You know, and so I don't believe that we should be getting caught up in that. It is nice to have some nice things sometimes, but that can't define you. It shouldn't define you. And it's a very shallow and empty way to live. And if you don't realize that, then I can't help you.
Let me ask you this. With that being said, do you think it's necessary, let's say, as far as this, like, for a man, because I know a lot of men, they believe this. And I want your opinion on this. Do you think it's necessary where for a man to go through that, where they're getting the cars, getting the nice homes, sleeping with a bunch of women, do you think all that is necessary for a man to go through for him to be like, yo, I'm bigger than that shit. I don't really need that. Or no. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. Why?
A little bit of that.
Why?
A little bit of that. Because sometimes you need some experience. You need experience. I like and am intrigued by people who have lived.
Me too.
And I don't want to listen to you if you haven't.
Facts.
Right? I don't want you doing my taxes if you're not a CPA. I don't want you doing my law if you didn't pass the bar and haven't won some cases. You know what I mean? I don't want you operating on me if you haven't operated on others. You know, and so in this journey, I think experience is a great teacher. And, yeah, I mean, experience it, you know. Because a lot of the times when you're able to achieve these things also as an indicator that you might be on the right path. You know,
yeah.
And so, for instance, you hear this. It's good to hear other people talk about this, but it's the same for me. I always tell people, my cousin, who you remind me of when we were kids, he used to have the big red Lamborghini poster that we used to go to sleep under at the sleepovers and stuff like that. And I never got that out of my head. Red Lamborghini, red Lamborghini, red Lamborghini, turned into other exotics or whatever, but. I was working for a long time just because I wanted it exotic, you know? I was working because I wanted a nice car. Okay. Now, I was doing the work. But I wanted a nice car, and I wanted a lot of girls, right? And I wanted to be on a boat, and I wanted all these things. I thought that's what I wanted, but it was still driving the engine, you know? So I was working hard to amass certain things, and then I look back, and every time I would get one of these things, I never got the red Lamborghini. I couldn't fit in it, but I got something else, you know what I mean? But when I got these things, then you get them and then you look back and you're like, damn, that's not really what I wanted at all.
Facts.
You know what? What I really wanted was this. Or sometimes what I really want is just a nice steak dinner, with my wife or something, and people just leaving me alone and just go to bed early that night. And that's peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever it is, it's usually not those things. Those things aren't going to make you happy. But I'm not going to take people's carrots away. You know, those, you know, you see the dogs at the racetrack, you know, they chase a rabbit. You know what I'm saying? Those race dogs, they chase a carrot. And I like having carrots to chase. It's fun. It's fun to have those things, man.
No, it is.
I'm not above that.
No, I'm with you. And I feel like from and my personal experience with things I've seen, the people that don't have a lot of experiences, they do it so much later in life or they jeopardize so much more. Like they might be, they might hit 40 years old. Now they're like, I'm about to go get the Lambo. I'm about to have sex with a million women while they're married or got so much to lose where it's like, yo, you just fucking, you threw it all away because you didn't do this early on.
I live in South Florida. So this is textbook South Florida, by the way. this is textbook South Florida, 42, just hit a lick, you know, because, you know, usually your work starts to come to fruition
right,
in that
40s,
time.
Yeah.
Hit a lick. You know, I'm sick of my fat ass wife, you know what I'm saying, and these annoying ass kids, and I live in this, you know, little community or whatever with my, you know, uninspired friends, and these dudes, they just go out the deep end, and it's just like that. Then they meet, you know, maybe they got the nice little Latina maid or whatever, or whatever, and she's just sitting there waiting for you to say something, and, you know, or something, whatever it is, and people, they lose their minds, bro. They lose their minds. I see it every, I wish I could create a business.
No, it happens,
you know what
all
it is,
the time.
If I went to law school, I always tell people, divorce and bankruptcy, Carlton's divorce and bankruptcy office, bro. I would love that business in South Florida because what you just said is so profitable because it that's what happens, man. These guys, you know, so for the young people, this goes back to what we were talking about. Why did that happen, though? It's because the lames win in life, but when they, you know what I'm saying, but they win and then they have none of the stuff
that we do.
You know, we mess it up in school. You're a class clown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like me. You were in college extra years. You know, we having all that fun, right? For them, they just got the money to have the fun. They never, you know what I mean? They're never able to experience that stuff, and they just go crazy, man. I see it all the time.
No, I see it. Yo, even from my own personal experience, I lived a lot. I'm 30, but in my mid-20s, even later 20, I lived a whole lot. So now, like, I recently moved out to the country. I could sit my ass down at home for 7 weekends in a row without worrying about it or thinking like, man, I need to be outside or what's happening at the clubs tonight. That doesn't cross my mind at all just because
maybe
I
just
did
once a month, not even once a month, man.
No, not even once a month. Really? No. I haven't been to the club.
Damn, I'm 44. I haven't got, I mean, for I'm real? Still kind of like, I'll, like once a month, man.
Like, I'll go if somebody like somebody coming to town, they like, yo, I just really want to have a good time. I'll go, but like just chilling at home, it doesn't cross my mind because I did it so heavy. Like in my 20s, like especially from 20, like 25 to like 28, I did that shit so heavy. Now it's just like, I could sit home with my daughter, chill, and not think about anything. But I know for a fact, if I didn't do that in the position I'm in right now, I would probably ruin everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I would ruin everything. I know I would because I would have that urge, like, yo, I gotta at least experience that at least for a little while. But that wouldn't fit with my life right now. It wouldn't fit at all. Like, I try to tell dudes all the time that's younger, I'm like, yo, live your life. Because if you don't do it now, you're going to fuck up eventually. It's going to happen.
Right.
It's only so – how many dudes – have you ever met a dude that did have those experiences and never desired them, got old, and didn't fuck up? Have you ever met somebody like that?
I mean, there's some circumstances, but – it's always exceptions. I don't want to label them, but they're not the type of guys that –
you would want to be like.
Yeah. I also find this is something, man, a lot of people will judge you based on things that they can't do.
What do you mean?
So a lot of these, so for instance, the guys that you were just asking me about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who will act.
Like they will, I'll get what you're saying.
That they act like mightier and higher than thou, right? And they'll be like, oh man, how could you cheat on your wife? How could you cheat on your girlfriend? How could you do these things? You were in the strip club, man. Right. You were on the boat with all these, you know, all these girls and freaks and everything. Like, how could you do that? And it's like, they're not really, they're like, oh, and by the way, I would never do that. No, bro, what are you talking about? You could never do this. You know what I'm saying? Of course you're faithful to your wife and your girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Your whole life. You never made a mistake or whatever before. You never made a mistake. Nobody wants you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, she's the only one.
Yeah, it's easy. Y'all both like weigh 250. You know what I'm saying? Like 300. You know what I'm saying? Sitting on the couch. Of course you love this woman more than anything. You would never do. It's never happening, bro. So I don't really like to hear stuff from people like that because it's more commendable for someone who has to resist urges to do these things, not somebody that, I mean, come on, man. And so that's something that frustrates me a lot. People don't want to be real a lot because most people I know are we're all fallible. We make mistakes, but people who are growing, they make less and less mistakes over time, you know, but we're in a world right now where people are getting attacked for making mistakes at all times of their lives by other people who make mistakes or by other people who can't do anything. It's either or. And it's a very frustrating thing, I think, for people to go through, especially now, because at no time in history has that ever been the case. Yeah, at no time. You know, so you think about all your senators and congressmen and all these people that are over 70 years old, 65 years old, all of their stories from their background don't exist. People either died, there's no footage, there's no pictures, there's no video, no nothing, right?
I never thought about that.
So it's not until these lower generations, probably 55 and under, that are having to deal with these things and consequences of their past actions, because no one in history has ever had to do that. Never. You're born in the early 1940s, 1920s, 1930s, you could have killed people, no one knows. Anytime before that, you killed somebody, maybe no one ever knew, ever. You know, but now, you know, you do the little slightest thing and people are like, hey, I can't believe you did that. And you're like, what do you mean? Like,
no, that's facts.
That's just.
No, that's facts. Because I literally just seen this documentary of this guy that have three kids. He was married. That he was successful. He lost his job, lost his money, went home, killed his whole family, killed his mom, took all the pictures in the house of him in it. He took himself out the picture, moved across the country, remarried, got a good job. And for 20 years, it took them 20 years to catch them because this is way before, obviously, the internet, social media. This was like in the 60s or something like that. So there's no like.
You know how many times that happened? You know that was a thing back in the day? that men, this is, you're younger than me, but that was a common thing where that's what they called a Rolling Stone. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Where the father would come home, kiss the kids while they're asleep in the bed, leave a note, and they go to California.
Yep.
Bro, no one's ever finding you. And that was common. You had people that used to do this in towns, move to Florida, to Alabama. You have a family here, move up there. Never found, ever. There's no documents, there's no track, there's no nothing. This is all new.
Damn, that's true. I never.
You think about it. People used to kill their wives on the regular before, like, forensics in the year 2000 and beyond. Think about that.
Yeah.
They weren't, there were no crimes being solved like that. Like, I think I would say after like probably pre 99 because of video cameras and forensics. So in the 80s, think about this. Even if you just wanted to go and swing on somebody in the 80s, just go walk over and punch somebody in the face. You just do it.
Get away. No.
That's
no,
just regular. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think a lot of us don't think about the time we in. This is so unique. We're in an era that we've only experienced this.
I'm 44 years old, and I still have to resist the urge to beat somebody's ass every day because 20 years ago, I could do it, and that was normal, and no, you fought. You would get in a fight.
Now it's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, it was normal to get in a fight. Like, we fought. You go to school, you're supposed to get in a fist fight. Like, that was just normal behavior for young men. You know what I'm saying? So now, let your kid get in a fight at school. They call the police. There might be charges, all this stuff. But even the police officer themselves, like when they grew up, fought in school, you know?
No, that's, we get on a whole nother topic. I think people don't realize how domesticated men have become.
Yeah.
I think people take it for granted, like how calm and literally domesticated. Like I was talking to my aunt recently and she was telling me how growing up, she had five brothers and sisters, and she was like a couple blocks away. They used to play with this family that had like three. It was three brothers and sisters, and she said they played all the time. She said they got into high school. She found out that those people were her brothers and sisters.
That's
like
normal.
That was her dad's family too. Yeah. And I'm like, she was like, that was very common back then because this is pre-internet. You would never know this stuff.
And as I was growing up, you go to your uncle, your grandfather, somebody's funeral. Bro, the other girlfriends, the family, they're there, the kids show up. All this is normal. So now, think about how unfair it is for you, though, and your generation. Now, you guys are judged for what was normal for all of history, all of this.
Damn.
Yeah, you had a family on the other side of town. Yeah, this was normal. Yeah, daddy went on a business trip and had a family in Chicago from New York, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. Normal. This is normal stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, all throughout history, and now your generation's not allowed to do that no more. You got girls following y'all. What's your location? Why are you not home? Who's all these people in your... What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to live under that kind of duress. Your generation has to live under that. That's the norm. You can't breathe. You can't do nothing. You know, that's crazy. If I came up to you and slapped you, you know what I'm saying, out in public or whatever, bro, like, and walked away, and you retaliated, bro, like, you could go to jail, bro. That's like a crime. Like, that was just, back in the day, that wasn't like aggravated assault and stuff like that. That was like, y'all have a dispute. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of change that's going on, man.
And it's quick, too.
Very quick.
You saying a lot of stuff that I never really, like, thought about, how this is a...
The people that try me all the time, I'm not worried about people when I go in the street. I'm not worried about people when I go, you know, go out and party or whatever. You know who tries me? It's a little guy with a lawyer, right? It's always some little guy with a lawyer. It's always somebody that would never, ever, ever disrespect you in real life, man. And that's what the world is moving towards now. If you think about it, everybody's hiding behind paperwork and behind compounded wealth that they've built. Right? And attacking people, taking their stuff. And it's like 50 Cent said, man, it's like the biggest thugs, man, are dealing this stuff with paperwork now, man. And that's how the world works now. And so they're not afraid of you anymore. They're not afraid of your goon squad. They're not afraid of none of that, dude. Because they're like, oh, yeah, just try it. Just try it. Just try it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll end your whole life on paper, you know?
Yeah, this man, we got. I'm so upset we got to wrap up because we're gonna have to do a part two because there's so many other things I want to touch on. But before we wrap up, I want to ask you this. So, what would be with all the things we discussed, everything that's been said, right? What would be your biggest pieces of advice for anyone, but specifically younger men that's in this era, dealing with the challenges of this era, that want to become business owners, become successful, but they on that ground level, grinding it out. What would you say to them?
I would say it depends on what stage in life they are. But I would say that I think everybody, you know, based on what we were just talking about, I think we need silence.
And what do you mean?
We need silence. We need silence in our head. We need peace. We need to get away from the noise. So if someone's trying to figure something out, how can you figure it out with all this stimulus all around? You know, all of this, you know, television, you know, your friends, whatever, all the noise, your phone, all this stuff, right? We need time to think. And as a young person, that's the greatest asset you have is more time. And so I would take your time, and then we would go back to mind, body, and soul. Write these things down. What does yours look like? How is your mind? How is your mental health? How is your soul? Do you believe in something? Do you believe in God? You know, do you feel as though that's working for you? Do you feel as though you might need to explore that a little more? How is your body? You know, are you afraid to take off your shirt at the beach right now? You know, like, how is that? Because these different things are going to be what allows you to find opportunity, what allows you to find a significant other, which is also going to probably add value to your life, right? Because especially more than ever now, you're seeing the need for dual incomes and stuff like that.
Yo, it's going to get bad. It's going to get scarier, right? Out here for people.
But how are you going to do that when you're not the obvious choice? How are you going to do that when you're embarrassed to be who you are? How are you going to do that when you're not confident? How are you going to do that when you're not interesting? You know, I talk to young people about this all the time. You're not, a lot of people are not interesting.
Damn.
So how you expect to meet somebody at the level that you want to meet? You're not interesting. And you know what makes somebody interesting?
Experience.
It's all the little experience and dumb stuff. It's the little things, the things that you think don't matter, that all culminate to make you an interesting person, right? And so if I'm a young man right now, and I'm down on my luck, which I've been many times, let's just say you take everything away from me, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to get my nutrition in line so that what? While my mouth is shut, opportunities come my way. When I go somewhere, I want to be the best looking person, the best looking version of me. I'm not saying you got to be a supermodel. I'm not saying you got to be a bodybuilder or anything like that, but I need to be the best Carlton or the best Xavier possible. So boom, I'm sitting there on the best Xavier Carlton possible. Boom. If an opportunity comes, now what? I got to open my mouth. So I got to have something up here. So if you don't feel like you're adequate, go ahead, get on the Headway app. I don't have any ownership in Headway, whatever, but get on the Headway app. Go ahead and do 100 books in 100 days. Every day, a book. You can program it to be 18 to 20 minutes. Now you download the data, download the data, download the data, download the data. Now you've got some stuff in your head, right? You just upgraded yourself. So physically, mentally, you've upgraded yourself. Spiritually, this is going to make you interesting too, because if you meet somebody who's the caliber of person that you want to meet, 9 times out of 10, they should have these things together as well.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to be the best version of you, you're going to start stumbling into other people who are trying to be the best versions of them. And when you can partner with these people, whether it's in a romantic relationship, you know, or whatever, or in a friendship, you know, it's just be me and you. I just bumped up, like, man, I met this dude, you know, at this event, whatever, man, this dude was talking about something that was interesting, man. I checked him out. Let's go for lunch. Maybe we can start a business together. Like me, you know what I mean? Maybe like this is a stranger you just meet and start a business with, right? There's got to be something about you that you're giving off that is intriguing, that's interesting to people, that people want to know more, that people believe in, that people trust, right? You got to have something to offer. You got to be the obvious choice. And so my suggestion to people would be make yourself the obvious choice. Take yourself away from distraction. Go ahead and submit to a pain, because we're talking about mental, physical, and spiritual pain that you have to go through, because the brain perceives anything new as pain. Learning itself is perceived as pain in the brain until you flex that muscle, which is why you were talking about there being a time period it takes to build a new skill or to build upon these things. Some people say it's 29 to 30 days to build a habit.
Yep.
Whatever it is, they're not lying, okay? So the moment that you're ready to take accountability and accept that you're going to have to go through some pain, just go ahead and say, I accept it. Whatever comes my way, I'll do it. And give yourself some space and room to breathe while you're working on these things. Leave all the drugs, all the alcohol alone for now. You know what I'm saying? Leave all the partying and all that stuff away, because all of this represents sacrifice. And in every single religion, in every single place around the world, there's always got to be a sacrifice before you're able to get and achieve anything of value. And so the longer you are delaying acknowledging this, the longer and longer and longer and further away you are from anything that it is that you want in life. Mm. And so if you can't do these things, then you are going to be the play toy and the pawn of people who can. Because in life, you're always either doing the fucking or you're getting fucked. And that's just how it is. So if you're not doing, you're getting fucked.
Correct.
And so make sure you're not getting fucked.
Mm. You can't wrap it up better than that. And before we wrap up, I want to say, man, once again, I appreciate you coming all the way out here from Florida to do this. This was an extremely dope and valuable episode. But before I let you go, plug in all your stuff where people can follow you, learn more, get in contact with you. Everything you got going on, plug it. Cool.
Now, yeah, I appreciate it, too. If you want to find me right now, I'm on Instagram. I use that as my business card. So I'm on Instagram at Carlton_Washington. That's C-A-R-L-T-O-N, Carlton_Washington_ on Instagram. On LinkedIn, Carlton Washington. On Facebook, Carlton Washington. That's what I use to communicate. Right now, I'm still with Forever Young. And I do like to help people, though. So I don't have any programs. I don't have any courses. I don't have anything like that right now. Yep. I just like to help people. I'm passing this stuff along. And I always tell people that we give you this information, but 9 times out of 10, you're not going to use it. I hope that offends you enough to be different.
To live right. I love that. And wrapping up, you guys can follow me on all platforms at the Millionaire Mindset Pod. That's Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the platforms there is. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.